Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Inspire Church Albany podcast. We pray that these messages will inspire, encourage, and challenge you to take that next step in your journey. Enjoy our new theme, Faith Plus Action.
God is good all the time. That's right, Don, all the time. Yesterday, so I was mowing the lawns yesterday, okay? Which is a good thing to do. Who mows their lawns? Yep, cool. I'm not going to judge you if you get someone to do your lawns, okay? But there's something therapeutic about mowing the lawns. Yeah, I see a couple of nods. To me, there's a couple of things. There's making a good coffee. There's something therapeutic about making a good coffee. You know, getting behind the machine, grinding the beans, doing the pour, getting the milk just right, pouring it in. Who knows what I'm talking about? That's why we have great people on the coffee machine, because there's a good coffee and there's a great coffee. Now, I can't do great latte art like a tiger breaking out of a cage or a dolphin diving over a wall or something like that, little ferns or something like that. But I appreciate a good coffee and I am on the journey to making a good coffee. But that's one therapeutic thing. The other thing is mowing the lawns. Do you know why I love mowing the lawns? Because I have a set amount of time where I can't do anything else. I can't get distracted. All I can do is push that lawnmower around, and it's one of my many God moments. So when I mow the lawn, I'm doing two things. I'm praying for our church, and I pray for you guys, and I pray for different families here. And, you know, sometimes there's a need I know about, and I pray about that, and sometimes there's no need, and I just go, bless them. Because who wants God to bless them? Come on. So I'm praying for our church, and I'm also allowing God to speak to me. There's no music in my ears. I used to do it where I'd have music in my ears, but I'm just loving at the moment, mowing the lawns and just allowing God to speak to me. And God challenged me, okay? This is a little bit more behind the scenes. This is probably not going to make a good podcast this morning, okay? But God challenged me about my message. And I can see why, because I can see that God is doing something significant this morning. Now, what did God challenge me about? I had a great slick message. I had some great props. Who knows that I love a good prop? I had some good props. Not only that, I had the screens to match. And I felt God say something. This is what I felt God say to me. It's going to be a slick message. So what? And I had a little moment where I was like, I want nothing more than God to be glorified or God to move in a situation. Then people to walk away and go, Jesse, I love the prop this week. It was so good. Jesse, I love the screens. Man, that was inspiring. No, I want instead for us to have a moment with God. And I believe that God was challenging me. There's some great stuff that I prepped during the week that I believe God wants me to share, but I felt God challenging me that, you know, don't get me wrong, there is nothing wrong with excellence. You know, when we do something that comes with excellence and is slick and is well planned, I believe God loves that. It's worship to Him and God can bless that. But sometimes God wants to shake things up a little bit. And the scripture that came to mind as I was pushing that lawnmower around our property was out of Exodus. And I love this. It's Exodus 33, and I'm not even getting into my sermon yet, but I want to share this, okay? It's in Exodus 33, and it talks about the tent of meeting that Moses initiated. And it says, now Moses, this is verse 7, used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. And anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. We'll skip a couple of verses. It says, as Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud that represents God's presence with them, would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke to Moses. And whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance to the tent, they stood and they worshipped each at the entrance of the tent. And the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young assistant, Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. I love that bit. Joshua, you know, the next leader of Israel, he just wanted to hang around in God's presence. And what I love about that is our heart for Inspire, that this place would be a tent of meeting, that whenever we would come, that we could meet with God and encounter God. And this is a place for you to have a moment. And I believe this morning that for many of us, we are going to have a moment, if you haven't already, because this is a place where you can have a moment. And I love this. It goes on to say that Moses is having this encounter with God, and the Lord says, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. And then Moses said, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. Moses had such a passion for the presence of God that he didn't want to do anything that didn't come with God's presence. If God's not in it, let's not do it. If God's not moving, let's not move, because he knew the power. He knew the transformative power of God. And that's my cry this morning, is that for each one of us, let's get hungry. When there's worship, let us get hungry for an encounter with God. When someone like Pastor John gets up to do, you know, MC and notices and he shares a word, let's be hungry. God, what are you saying to me right now? You know, when someone gets up to preach, we're leaning in, we're ready. God, speak to me. God, I want to be changed. Because I believe that not only is there an amazing call on our church, but there's an amazing call on your lives too, because we are the church. I love it. If you go to our website, there's this thing called The Church We See, and it says one vision, but many dreams. You know what those many dreams are? They're your dreams. They're the dreams that God's given you. They're the dreams and the passion that God is getting you excited about. It's that spark of faith that he's given to you. But remember, we're in the season, faith and action. God wants you to step out in it. Because who knows what our vision is? Transforming lives together. That is the heart of God. That each one of us, he has given us a God shape. He has equipped us. Remember, we've talked about this before, to do his good works, which he prepared for us to do. He's equipped us to do this so that we can see his kingdom come, his will be done on earth, in Albany, in Inspire, in your work, in your community, in your family, as it is in heaven. Amen? Amen. Well, I reckon I'm going to start preaching. Does that sound good? Okay, so let's get to James. James is the passage we have at the moment where it talks about faith without works is dead. I love TPT is the Passion Translation. I love the little tweak on it. It says, faith without action is phony. Man, what a challenge. What a challenge. All right, James chapter 2. And I'm going to read a bit of this and then we're going to unpack it a little bit. And we'll see what God wants to do with this. So chapter 2, when we're starting in verse 14, and it says this, what good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Question. Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food, and if one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is that? In the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. Necros, lifeless, in other words, a lifeless corpse. It's like walking dead is basically what it's saying. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds and I will show you my faith by what I do. And this morning, I can't help but think, we all know somebody who talks a really good game, right? Talks a good game. At the moment, we're having basically a little bit of a basketball revival taking place in our household. Little Cole is just getting stuck into basketball. You guys might remember the other week when I was talking about, you know, the clothes that we put on. And one of the ones that God was challenging me about was patience, because Cole sometimes takes half an hour, 40 minutes to eat breakfast in the morning. And, you know, you're like, let's get our shoes on. And it takes another 20 minutes. And everyone with young kids is just nodding, going, I know what you're talking about. Well, since the basketball revival hit, he is ready within minutes because he wants to go outside and shoot hoops. And you got to realize, how did this all start? It all started with beautiful Keely being born. And unfortunately, Cole got a little bit of a tea fever, which meant for my boys who wanted to have a cuddle every 10 minutes, which is awesome, I love this, wanted to cuddle little Keely, we had to say to Cole, I'm really sorry, buddy, but we're probably going to skip on the cuddles just while you got the fever and you're coughing and you got a temperature. You can talk to her, but maybe we're not going to hold her right now, which is a really hard thing to say to a five-year-old who's just like, all I want to do is hold my little sister. So I was thinking, what can I do here? Because it's pretty hard when Harvey can hold her, and Harvey and Cole have these little competitions all the time. So you can see him having a little bit of a laugh as he's having a hold. So I was thinking, what can we do? And I remembered that Cole had been talking about how when he grows up, he's going to be not only a ninja. I think I've got Stephen to thanks for that. Because I remember they were talking about, I wonder if Stephen's going to be at church. And I'm like, what is it about Stephen? He's a great guy, but I'm like, what is it about Stephen that my 5 and 3-year-old are like, I wonder if he's going to be at church? And they said, because he teaches us how to fight. Good. Love it. So he wants to be a ninja, but he also tells me he wants to be a professional basketball player. Now, you might look at me and go, okay, verbally challenged. More like Cobus looks like a professional basketball player. Now, I just want to let you know that in the NBA history, okay, some of the best point guards in the NBA, the ultimate basketball competition, Muggsy, 5'3", okay? Spud Webb, 5'6", and he could dunk. I'm 5'6", okay? So it's a stretch, I know, but anyway, he said he wants to be a professional basketball player. So we had a little hoop. It was only 6 foot high off the ground, and he could get it in all the time, and he kind of talked a good game. It's like, you know, I'm so good at basketball, Dad. One day I'm going to be Michael Jordan. I'm going to play for the Bulls. I'm so good at basketball. And I thought, yeah, we all know someone who can be talk a really good game. So I took Cole over to the courts at the school where there are some real basketball hoops. And as soon as you start shooting for a 10-foot hoop, it's a little bit different, especially when you're this high, to shooting at a 6-foot hoop that you get it in every time. Like, he's pretty good every time, but not a 10-foot hoop. And what I love, because it's the primary school, there's another hoop which is a little bit lower. And he started shooting for that, but he kept missing. And then suddenly there's a little bit more strength, a little bit more strength, and then he gets it in. It's like, come on, let's do that again. Try that again, Cole. Stop throwing it. Let's get a little bit of technique in here. I was basketball crazed as a kid. Showed him some technique. He started getting them in. And what I loved is it's like, well, we've got to fuel this. So we went and got a basketball hoop. And hence why he's getting up every morning, getting dressed real quick. He's out shooting hoops. After school, he comes home, he's shooting hoops. After dinner, he wants to shoot hoops. If you're like, and Tim will attest to this, if you come to our house, he will challenge you to a shootout. He's not bad, eh, Tim? Can I say that he beat you? Yeah, cool. Nah, Chaz. he's doing really well. And it reminded me of this passage where it's not just faith and talking a good game. You got to get out there. And we're not perfect when we begin, but God wants faith and action. Now, it says here, you know, what good is it if you claim faith but have no deeds? And I love this. It's actually talking practically here where it talks about if someone comes and they got needs, what good is it if you just pray for them but you don't do anything? It's faith and it's action. We pray and then we go, God, what have you put in our hands to be your answer? Is the challenge. God, I'm going to pray with faith, but Lord, what have you actually put in my hands to be an answer? Faith and action. We can't just talk a good game. Now, what we're not saying here is that you earn salvation through deeds, because that's not what we read about in Romans. But when your life is transformed, how can you not do good deeds, right? When you've had an encounter with God, how can you not want to move? How can you not want to act? How can you not want to step out in faith? And it got me thinking about the stages of life, because at some point in the game of life, we've got to step up and put that jersey on, right? And it all begins, and conveniently I'm coming here for a quick sip of water. It all begins with an encounter, right? An encounter with God. It might have been a moment for you this morning. Maybe it's a moment coming. Maybe, like me, it wasn't even in church. I remember my first encounter with God. Who can remember their first encounter with God? I remember being outside my dad's dye shed. So my dad was a pastor, but he also had a business, and it was a leather business, and he had a dye shed where they would dye leather. Because, you know, when you think about it and you think about all the leather goods, of course there ain't cows out there with those colours. So dyeing leather, right? And I remember talking to dad about how, it was kind of like, how can you talk to God? I was like, how can you talk to God? How can you have a moment with God? Now, I use kid language, but that is essentially what I was asking. And my dad told me, all you need to do is literally go find a space and just talk to him. And if you step out in faith, what happens is as you talk to him, God will meet you where you are. So I remember walking out of that dye shed. I remember kind of standing outside and just going, God, I want to know you. And I remember in that moment feeling peace and joy like I never felt before. But who knows, you can't live on just regular moment or one encounter, right? God wants us to have moments and regular encounters that cause movement in our life. To grow. And what I love is I can have a moment, whether it's like on the altar this morning, and that same feeling comes when I'm worshiping God. It could be in a moment when I'm needing to pray with someone and there's need. And it could be in a moment like I remember when my mum had died and I was just, you know, broken about that, but God met me in that place. It could be driving. It could be on a ferry. It could be in the middle of mowing the lawns. God wants us to have an encounter with him. So it begins with encounter. Encounter inspires faith. And then we start putting that into practice, right? That's the next phase. It's the action. It's not just talking a good game. It's putting on the jersey. It's about getting involved. And what I love about that picture of action is it is kind of like Cole in basketball. It's in the beginning, you're shooting, and maybe you're not quite getting in the hoop, but it's practice. It's practice. It's stepping out. There's a little bit of resistance. There's some opposition. You got to build strength. Faith, action, and then there is reaping, right? So God wants faith, an encounter, action, reaping, sowing, reaping, faith, practice, stepping out, reaping. Can you see a little bit of a pattern here? Sowing, reaping, faith, action, growth, reaping. Because God has an amazing call on your life that He wants you to step out, faith, action, reaping, sowing, reaping, getting in the game, not just doing the talk, reaping, seeing Him move in your life, seeing Him transforming others. And you can't reap that promise and that purpose without going through the process. What good is faith if you don't act and you can't see? There's a process. God is causing you to grow. And that reminded me actually of this next bit in here. It's a really interesting story that James chose. We're going to unpack it in this moment. It says, it keeps going. So remember, show me your faith without deeds and I will show you my faith by what I do. We're going to skip verse 20. It says, you foolish man. Man, James is all about challenge, eh? Do you want evidence that our faith is for what he did? Woo. Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness and he was called God's friend. And you see that a person is justified by what he does and not just the faith alone. It's the talk and the walk. Interesting story. James, we've got a whole Old Testament full of stories, right? Heroes of faith. Who knows Hebrews 11? It's like so many names in there, yet James chooses, in my opinion, quite a strange story for us today, okay? Abraham, a moment where Abraham is tested and he's about to offer his son Isaac on an altar. Who thinks that sounds strange? And the rest of us thought it, we just didn't put our hands up, and that's okay. I was talking to Stephen this morning, we were talking about this passage, and it's really funny. Sometimes you just need to have some good conversations with your hairdresser. I was once having a conversation with a hairdresser, and he challenged me. He was like, man, it sounds crazy that God would choose his own son to die for me. And what sounds more crazy is here where God is testing somebody to offer his son on an altar. Who's going to agree with me? I'm pointing out the elephant in the room. Thank you, Caleb. That's a convincing head nod. So let's go have a look at what this story is about. And I think God has got something incredible in there to challenge us with, okay? So it all begins in Genesis 12. In Genesis 12, God calls this man at the time called Abram, okay? Now, Abram comes from a family that doesn't serve God. Really, there's not many people serving God. It's just serving any God they can dream up or what's going on. And God meets with a man and speaks to him. Now, that's mind-blowing to begin with. And he calls him out and he gives him a promise. He said, I'm going to take you and I am going to start a nation and I am going to use you and your descendants to bless the peoples of the earth. Now that's pretty massive, right? That is a big calling. I'm going to choose you to start a nation that's going to show what it looks like to be transformed by God, what it looks like to be blessed when you follow me and you follow my commands. I'm going to give you guys these things and through you, the peoples of the earth will be blessed. Now, we wouldn't be sitting here this morning if Abram at the time heard that, talked a good game, decided not to put on his journey and get involved, okay? We wouldn't even be sitting here. okay? We are blessed because of this. So anyway, this happens. He goes on a journey. Now, who knows that to start a nation, you probably need to have some kids. It's a good start, right? Yeah, this is the caveat. Abram and his wife Sarah didn't have any kids, and they were old. So God is giving him a promise. There is a moment where faith needs to be ignited and action take place, okay? Now, we're going to fast forward this morning. So he's given him a promise. Abraham starts acting on it. And what happens? Most of you guys will know this. Abraham kind of takes things into his own hands. He's like, God's given me a promise, but I'm not enjoying this process of faith and action, faith and action, showing, getting involved, trusting God. I'm going to take things into my own hands. So, crazy little thing happens. Sarah and him have a little conversation. And then Sarah goes, why don't you take my servant and you guys have a baby together? And then this is how God could do it and this is how it could work out. A few nods here, we know the story. So, they end up having a son, doing things their own way. And then lo and behold, what happens? They have their own child because God promised that they were going to, right? And then we have a little bit of an altercation, getting close to Genesis 22, where the main story happens. And then they end up sending the servant and that firstborn child away, Ishmael. That wasn't God's ideal plan, but it's funny how we get in and try and mix things up. Then, straight after that, it says in chapter 22, sometime later, God tested Abraham. And it said, Abraham, here I am, he replied. God said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. And it says, early the next morning, Abraham got up, saddled his donkey, took with him two servants, his son Isaac, cut enough wood and burnt for the burnt offering, and he set out. Who thinks that sounds strange? I would have struggled with that. There's no way I can think about doing that to one of my sons. Now, let's rewind a little bit. This wouldn't have been strange for him at all because all around him, there were all sorts of gods that people were sacrificing to, and one of the common things was sacrifice your firstborn. Okay, God's just asking me to do what any god would ask me to do, but he's made a promise. He actually fulfilled that promise, so I'm going to step out. And I think it's really interesting in Hebrews 11 where it gives us a little bit more insight where it says, by faith when God tested him, offered Isaac, even though God said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned, and Abraham reasoned that God could raise him from the dead. But God is testing him. God is saying, I gave you a promise. I wanted you to work through the process to see my purpose come. Abraham took the promise. He had faith, decided I'm not quite keen on this process. Let's make it happen my way. And God is now testing him going, I've got something big for you, buddy, but I need to know that you are all in. We need to make this right. This is about my way, going through the process. And I'm going to fast forward this because of time, but Abraham got there, he set it up, and an angel of the Lord called out, Abraham, Abraham, here I am, he replied, do not lay a hand on that boy. Do not do anything to him, because I know that you fear God, and you have not withheld me, your son, your only son. And then it says that Abraham looked, and there was a sacrifice waiting there for him to sacrifice. And I believe what God was doing and what it says here is that God was inspiring him. He had faith. He had promise, but he was challenging him on the process, because we can't receive the promise without going through the process. We can't receive the promise without faith in action, faith in action, faith in action. Because he was trying to shortcut it and avoid it, God was challenging him, testing him to stick in it, to dig in. And I believe this morning that God wants to turn that pain of the process into a platform to his promise. I'm going to say that again. God wants to take the pain of the process to turn it into the platform to his promise. Because who knows, who goes to the gym? I went to the gym a long time ago, but I do know one thing. Who's ever felt sore after the gym? Yep. Do you know why you feel sore? Apart from it's a sign that you probably should be at the gym. You feel sore because as you're working out, as you're doing the action, as you are, you know, doing the action, as you're lifting weights, tiny tears are taking place. Damage to the muscles. There's pain in the process. And as you rest, it mends together and you become stronger. And I believe the challenge this morning is this. Don't avoid the process, because God is doing something in your life, building strength for the promise of his purpose in your life. It's real easy. I know what it's like where I want to avoid the process. I remember when I was coming out of school and I was just like, God, do I go straight into Bible college because I feel called to ministry? And I felt God say no, that I want you to get into business, which I've done for the last 15 years before this moment now. And I believe that God was doing something in that process, that God was showing me things, that God was building things in me, that if I tried to make it happen and shortcut it, I wouldn't be prepared with. And I want to encourage you this morning, if you are in the middle of the process, that God is building something in you, that God is building strength in you for his promise. How good is that? This morning, if you are feeling it, dig in. What does the personal trainer say? Feel the burn. Maybe this morning, I am your personal trainer, ordained by God, yelling as you are feeling the burn, you can do it. One more rep, come on. One more rep, because the pain is going to be a platform to his promise. And I know that in my own life, those little bits where God tells you to step out, and it seems a bit scary. It feels like you're jumping out of that boat. And then God moves. And then what happens? God asks you to step out a little bit more. You do it, and God moves. And then he asks you to step out a little bit more. Circumstances, you're just like, why are you asking me to do this? Why? It just doesn't make sense. Surely God wants me just to have a good time in life. But right now, this is a struggle. And then you see God move. Now, I can tell you one thing. I know that some of the things God has asked me to do more recently, there is no way I would have done that 10 years ago because God is building that strength. And I want to encourage you, trust him in the process. And it's not about perfection. I love that. The next story here talks about Rahab. Rahab was a prostitute. Another out of all the amazing heroes in the Old Testament, James picks Rahab, who is also in Hebrews 11, where she did something incredible for the journey of that nation. And we don't have time, but you can read about that later. But she was a prostitute. When God chose to use her, she didn't come perfect. I want to encourage you this morning, don't let perfection get in the way of God, because God is bigger than your scars. He's bigger than your failings. He's bigger than your shortcomings. Don't let perfection get in the way. When there is an opportunity, have a moment with God, step out. Because I know this one thing, that when I step out and I meet with God and I encounter God, that I can't help but have my life transformed. I know that when I step out, I can't help but God begin to work on those shortcomings. I can't help but God come and start molding me and shaping me into that person He's called me to be. And it's not about a performance, right? It's about the process, because that process is the platform to His purpose being fulfilled. And the last thing I want to challenge you with this morning, is this good? Is it a good challenge? Yeah, cool. Is our faith big enough to include others? That's something that I know God is challenging me every day. Is my faith big enough for others? Because that is the calling on our lives. Not only to love God, but to love others. Not only that our lives would be transformed, but that God would transform lives together. God could do anything by Himself, but He loves to use us. He loves to take us in our time and our talents. And, you know, this week we've got a special team night celebration coming up. And I was just looking at some of the things we've done as a church, and we're gonna share them next week. And we're gonna share them at the team night. But you know what I loved? 133 of you guys serve on team. 133. In our church, serve on team. Getting stuck in, whether it's making meals for people who need meals, whether it's on a door and saying hi so someone doesn't feel awkward when they come in, whether it's getting on band, whether it's doing lights, doing sound, whether it's running a course, whatever it is, there's 133 of us. And I want to thank you guys this morning. You know what else blew my mind? That over the last year that we've impacted 14 cities across 7 nations. And we're not just talking about just Pastor Don up the front. That's us together. God is doing something. God has an awesome calling, not only on this church, but on each and every one of you. God is taking you through a process of faith and action. Faith and action to bring about His purpose. There's a process. Unfortunately, the process can feel like a bit of pain, but just like working out at the gym, feel the burn. Stretch. Because God is building strength in each one of us to fulfill what He has in store. If we saw the end from the beginning, we'd probably freak out, but He knows. And He knows that you can do it. He knows that when you get stuck in, that you're going to build that strength. He knows that it's not just going to be talking a good game, but each one of us is going to put on that jersey. We're going to get involved. We might not be sinking hoops from the beginning, but we will by the end. And we will see lives transformed. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. We encourage you to reflect on the sermon, listen again, and let us know what you got from it. If you want to hear more messages like this, click follow and feel free to listen to our previous sermons while you wait for our latest one. Have a great week. Be blessed.